Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
Look at verse 24. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, and a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." Now, what you may not know about that text right there is, all of these Jews right here knew what Jesus was implying. What he's implying is, in the days of Elias and of Elijah here, that he didn't come and heal the Jews. He went to the Gentiles. Did you see that? All these people he mentioned that were healed, those with the leprosy and the widow, these were Gentiles. And he said, that's what happened because that prophet wasn't accepted either in his day. What did he do? He went to the Gentiles instead of the children of Israel. And so this is what's really caused their blood to boil. He has thrown it right into their face. He's saying that we're just like they were, rejecting the prophets. They are. They're rejecting the prophet, Jesus. And so everybody in there gets all mad. Now look what happens, verse 28. "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him up to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." We have the very promised Messiah sitting in the very midst of the Jewish synagogue in front of Jewish people and telling them the truth from the Scripture, telling them it's been fulfilled. The Son of God is preaching and teaching from the Bible, from their Scripture, be their Bible. And the Holy Ghost is revealing to them the truth, but they don't accept it. They don't trust it. They won't even listen to it. And so they completely reject him, so much so, they were so angry, so much contempt built up, that they jumped up in the synagogue, grabbed Jesus, pulled him out of there, marched him up a hill, and was going to throw him off a cliff, and hoping to kill him. That's what they were doing. They were that angry and so mad over what he said. You know, that's what it is. Hey, if you don't like the message, kill the messenger. You know, that preacher prayer gets up and talks about things I like to do and calls them a sin. Let's get rid of him. That's basically what they're doing. But they want to go as far as to kill him. Blame the preacher. Shoot the messenger. Now, Jesus isn't going to allow them to do this. It is not his time to be killed. And he knows that. So it says in verse 30, "But he passing through the midst of them went his way." I'm sure they were all confused. I don't know how that happened that day. They all had him and they were going to cast him off the side. And next thing you know, he's gone. He's went right through them. And just like Peter did through the prison when the guards were all there and Peter walks right through there, the Lord just made it happen. And so you can more or less say he escapes from them. But now I want you to see a difference now between the people that were familiar with him, that should have accepted him, and these people that should have been more questionable, I believe. Verse 31, "And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." You see the big difference right here? The difference of night and day. The same man, the same Jesus, preaching in the same Spirit of God, preaching the same message, but he's gladly received in this place. In Capernaum, he's gladly received. Where he's not as familiar as he was back in Nazareth, back in his hometown. You see, they wasn't up in Capernaum saying, "Isn't that Joseph's son? Isn't that the carpenter's boy? Wasn't he used to run around the carpenter shop all the time? Don't you remember seeing him out there playing with the other kids?" You know, they didn't do that because they were not as familiar with Jesus. They were astonished, the Bible said, because of the doctrine he was preaching, and he was preaching with power. He preached with the same exact power in the other synagogue, but they didn't see it the same way. Now I want to ask you tonight, why do we have dozens of empty pews in this building tonight? I can go to every church, probably in Knox County, except for some of these so-called mega churches, and it's going to be the same. You're going to see the same story. Some churches are going to be a lot smaller than this. I know one church that they end up having two or three people coming. And listen, why do we have empty pews tonight? I'll tell you why. People come so familiar with Christ, they think they know everything they need to know, and they just feel content to just sit home on Sunday night. Or maybe they're at the movies, or maybe they're at the restaurants, or maybe they're watching something on TV, whatever it is. Their love for the Lord is not what it should be. Why, when we have empty pews, why can you go 1,400 miles down to Honduras to a mission church that Alan and Becky Jackson started, and there is so many people trying to get in the place, they ain't got nowhere to sit? That's down in Honduras. How come we used to have a church van that the tires rotted off? We ended up selling it because we wasn't driving it. How come we had to do that when we've got missionaries in Sao Tome and Principe that are dugging them out of Claypool, and they're cramming a dozen people in a pickup truck and putting a tarp over them to drive in the rain to get to church? Why is that? You know? How come there are hundreds of people with their names on the church roll book sitting at home tonight, while in Kazakhstan we've got missionaries, they're risking their lives with dozens of other people going to underground churches to learn the Word of God? But yet we've got people tonight that won't get off the couch to come to church. Now you may say, Brother Byron, you act awful mad. I'm not mad. What I am is frustrated over, it seems like, the lack today of people that claim to be Christians, claim to love the Lord, and yet they don't have enough umph about them to even make it to the house of God. And I understand when you're sick and you're dealing with people sick, you're watching people that's sick, or you can't drive in this darkness. I know that. A lot of you can't drive. You can't see. I thank God for people like Chester, who's bringing 100 people with him to the church. Not 100, but we said this morning he needs to get him a little van and start picking people up. But I'm thankful for that. Some people wouldn't be able to come if it wasn't for that. And I know there's reasons why behind sometimes we are not able to come to church. But friends, 9 times out of 10, most people that don't come to church, when they are a church member, it's just because they don't want to come. They don't want to come. They don't have enough excitement about them, about the Lord. They don't want to come and participate and fellowship and sing songs and listen to messages. They just don't have it about them. And I'll tell you why, my friend. It's because we've become familiar with Christ. He no longer holds that place in our heart like he ought to hold when we first got saved. People today really would like to hear a big piece of juicy gossip than they would anything read out of the Bible. I can go to somebody and say, let me read you what I read in my Bible study, and they're going to go, okay. But if I come and say, guess what I heard about so-and-so? Let's hear that. Tell them you want to tell them something about the Bible or something about Jesus, something you learned in Sunday school, or the pastor said, eh. Yeah, ain't you got nothing exciting to talk about? You know, people would rather watch Dancing with the Stars than to come into church and worship the Creator of the universe. We're so familiar with Him now, they're no longer desiring Him. My friend, churches in the United States today better wake up. Listen, our time is drawing nigh. It's drawing short. The Bible says we're to congregate more as we see that day approaching. And listen, like I told you, I know you're faithful, and this I'm preaching to the crowd tonight. But honestly, we need to evaluate it and look and see. If you look at those statistics I put in your bulletin, this is happening to churches like our church. And it scares me. It scares me. I know that the gates of hell can't prevail against God's church. But listen, I want you to know that these church buildings that we congregate in are getting boarded up every day. Closed. Out of business. Sold. You know, over in England, where churches used to be growing and dominant, there's just very few now. They're putting nightclubs and bars in the churches in England. Same thing's going to start happening here. It's going to start happening here. What else are we going to do with these great big fine buildings, you know, when they're empty, sitting still? Hey, that's a great place. Let's tear out all these pews and put a basketball court and start playing basketball in here every week. You may think that's ridiculous, but friends, these things are happening. And so, while I'm not angry or mad about it, I'm concerned. I'm concerned of the state of the church these days. Over in Revelation, we'll be finished. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 14, we see an awful picture here of the church. There were 7 churches that the Lord spoke to and gave advice to and warned, and 2 that He didn't give a warning to. 2 of them He just admonished, but the other ones here that He really put to the fire. Revelation 3 and 14, He says, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, I don't know how many times I've preached that text and taught that text, and I want you to know that that text right there always bothers me. It bothers me greatly because we see here a picture of a church that on the outside it looks like it's a great church. They've got everything they could possibly need there. They consider themselves well off and rich, and our bank account's fine. Listen, our bank account at this church is great. We've got a great bank account. We don't have to worry about it. Our building's paid off. We're not hurting for anything like that. But I want you to know we can sit by and think, well, we've got it fine. And I've heard some people say that. They'll say, you know, well, if my church wasn't, you know, in the hole like it is, I think we'd be better off. And I'm thinking, I don't know about that. I don't think that really matters. I think what matters is if people are excited about the Lord, if they still have the same love and desire to come and congregate together with God's people and worship together, I think that's what's needed today. And here this church is that has everything. They claim to have it all. And people may have seen them that way at one time. But now Jesus says, he's not even welcome there. He's got to stand outside the door and knock and see if anybody's going to even let him in. He said, if you let me in, I'll come in and sup with you. Apparently, they wasn't even letting him in. They didn't even giving him a thought. They were going through their routines and rituals and religious dogma and all this stuff like this. But as far as Christ was concerned, you know, that's just a byproduct there. They wasn't even concerned about that. Jesus says, listen, I stand at the door and knock, and if you'll hear my voice, if you'll just let me in, I desire to come in and have fellowship with you. Listen, we need a desire to have this fellowship with Christ. And that comes through many things. It comes not only through your prayer, it comes through the reading of the Scripture, but it also comes through your faithfulness to God's house with God's people. It all comes through that. And so, listen, just like Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Today, people have got deaf ears, I believe. We need to open them up and see what the Lord's saying to us. And say, God, what's that little saying? If every church member was just like me, what kind of church would this church be? If we put ourselves right there in there and find out and say, well, if everybody was just like me, we probably wouldn't make it. If everybody was like me, I believe we'd have a chance. If everybody was like me, our church would just be on fire. What about you tonight? What do you think about it? What does the Holy Spirit spoke to you about it? About our need to do more, to worship more, and I'm not saying that I'm looking for hundreds of people or anything like that. I'm looking for people that are excited about the Lord and you see it in their lives. Not just to come and hear a sermonette or to hear somebody sing a pretty song, but to be involved, to be part of it, to say, God, what can I do? Would you show me something? Lord, is there a song you want me to sing, a testimony you want me to share? God, what can I do for you in the service? That's what I desire. I think it's what God desires from us, is for everybody to be involved. Worship is not watching other people worship. Worship is a one-on-one relationship between you and God. It's what you do with it that matters. And if we all do it, if we all have a relationship with Christ and worship like we need to worship, friends, we would see so much difference. So much difference.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.